Part 9, The Great Trek. January the 23rd. Things getting more tense. Rumours from ferrets that the Russians are now only about 60 miles away. But OKW puts them north of Breslau, about 95 miles from us, as well as big advances in the north to the east of Posen, and nearer to Konigsberg and Danzig, and still going. The road alongside the camp has been one long stream of horse carts, full of refugees, all day pouring in a southwesterly direction. Another important event happened today. We went back onto full parcels. The reason for this caused much speculation, but we decided to have a big bash today anyway. So for dinner we had a half a tin of bully each, a big bash of mashed spuds with cheese, thick sauce and peas, and a big noodle pudding with rich honey sauce. The only snag to all this is that the bread situation is getting critical. We only got about a quarter of a loaf of bread each to last us until heaven knows when. Still, most of us expected we should have to undergo a certain amount of discomfort before the great day came, and surely this cannot be so far off at the moment. For us, at any rate, has no effort seemed to be made to move us at all. So all we can do is sit tight and pray to God that we may be carried through these critical days safely, and our liberation is drawing rapidly nearer, and also that our people at home are not becoming too anxious for our safety.
January the 24th. Another very busy and exciting day. To begin with, late last night, we had some gen as to what we should do if we had to march at any time, which, however, was considered unlikely. Bad news this morning that our bread was being given to the refugees, and we should not get any more bread until further notice. This is very bad, although we're now on full parcels. The news today shows big advances by the Russians in the direction of Danzig, almost cutting off eastern Prussia. Although no big advances were mentioned in our area, Breslau was for the first time mentioned, and also fighting on the Oder. Refugees continue to stream by all day, even in the blinding snow. January the 25th and 26th. News continuing good. OKW on the 25th put the Russian spearhead 45 miles away, and rumours put them in Legenty, 30 miles away. Several times during the day we heard explosions and rumbles, etc. in the distance. Refugee stream now getting thinner, and quite a bit of military traffic passing by. January the 27th. Now we come to a moment in my life that I shan't forget in a hurry. The time is 8:30 in the evening, camp time. We're all sitting round playing cards and just getting ready to fry some bread and spam for supper, when the door bursts open and somebody shouts out, "Get packed immediately and be ready to move out in half an hour." The scene of activity that took place in that next half hour could only be seen to be believed.
Everybody routed their belongings for the bare necessities they were to take with them, throwing everything else aside in their haste. Then came the job of sharing out all the food in the food cupboard and Easter cakes, etc. At the end of this time, the room looked just as it had been struck by a whirlwind. As for myself, I immediately put on two sets of underwear, my battle dress, and two pullovers and two pairs of socks, packed into my shirt, already sewn up as a rucksack, a towel and two blankets, toilet requisites, a spare shirt and a pair of socks, souvenir stuff and food, which consisted of a third of loaf of bread, about 18 ounces of Easter cake, half a pound of margarine, a quarter pound of sugar, four biscuits, a quarter pound of honey and prunes, and one piece of Jim's birthday cake, and one piece of potato cake. At the end of the half hour, however, nothing happened. So we made ourselves a brew and went through our things again. At about 10 p.m, we were all called outside, and after standing about for some time, we were told to go back to our rooms for another 1.5 hours. By this time, somebody had struck on the bright idea of making sledge to carry our stuff, so half the mess got cracking, literally, on making sleds out of bits of tables, stools, beds, anything they could find, while the others got some chips frying and some barley boiling. I made a small personal sleigh out of a Red Cross case and bedboards. Around midnight there was another stir, but nothing came of it, and most of us went back and lay down on our pits, what was left of them. January the 28th, 1945. At 6 o'clock in the morning the final call came, and we left our mess for the last time. Often we had looked forward to the day when we should pass through the compound gates and out of our barbed wire surroundings, but it certainly never entered into our minds that this was how we would do so. As we passed through the gate, we were given a Red Cross parcel each, which we dumped on our sledge. As luck would have it, it had just started snowing as we started, and furthermore, as a personal inconvenience, I had had a rotten attack of diarrhoea the evening before, and I wasn't feeling too good now.
However, after a few stops and starts, the great sled train, about 1,100 of us, stretching over about half a mile, set off for Sagan. Before we left East Camp, the GC gave us the gen that we had 70 kilometres to go to a place called Spremberg, west of Dresden. Although it was snowing practically all day, we didn't do too badly. The sled's running quite well. At least it was much better than a pack, I thought. We covered 21 kilometres today, all told, arriving at a village called Kuno at about 4 o'clock. Surprisingly enough, none of us had felt very hungry during the march, and consequently had hardly touched our rations. We slept in a couple of big barns full of straw, but no lights, so being a pretty tight squeeze, it was certainly a job to get anything like comfortable. And I wanted to get out during the night to attend to the wants of nature. It meant crawling over a living mass of bodies, accompanied by yells and shouts of sundry bods as you kicked them in the face or knelt on their stomachs, etc. January the 29th. Off again at 8 o'clock this morning. Today was much easier, as we only did 17 kilometres, and a promise of a day's rest after it. On the road we were able to get odd cups of water, hot and cold, from sundry villagers who took pity on us. The last part of the day's march was spoiled for me by some violent attacks of diarrhoea, and in fact during the night I was sick. But nevertheless, at about 3 o'clock, we arrived at Gross-Sultan, our destination for tonight and tomorrow. Here, the four of us managed to get fairly comfortable, though very cramped, in a pigsty. There were 18 of us all in one stall. When one person moved, everyone else was woken up by the movement. January the 30th. As promised, today we had a rest all day and were able to get organised properly on the food. We lit a fire, and with the aid of a couple of tins of M&V we had some spuds we'd been able to rack it, we made quite a good stew. We also got a couple of barley issues today, the first goon issue we've had, but that was only what the cookhouse staff had brought with them. A copy of the log was posted up today, advising us to prepare for a 14-day march, which sounds pretty grim.
January the 31st. On the road early again this morning, with 21 kilometres ahead of us. By this time, most of us are getting a bit footsore, and the day's rest had the effect of stiffening us up. So the going today was naturally a bit harder, especially as the country is getting a bit hillier. We eventually reached Birkenstedt on the outskirts of Muskau at about 5 p.m, and it was nearly dark before we were able to bed down, this time once again in a big barn full of straw. February the 1st. Once again a day of rest. The weather suddenly got much warmer and a very quick thaw has taken place, and our chances of sledding our stuff in the future looks very doubtful. We also got our first goon rations yet, 1/5 of a loaf each and an issue of oats, which was really delicious. We also got in the rackets for bread, as our supply is running low. We managed to get a couple of civvy loaves in exchange for coffee, and this was really nice bread. As the day wears on, the chances of sledding tomorrow seem to be getting less and less, but we are somewhat relieved by the gen that they will be carrying our food parcels on a cart for us when we move. I've decided myself that the best thing to do is put everything into my case and carry it as a hand case. A lot of racketeering and looting is going on nowadays, causing several amusing incidents. One, a complaint by a Panzer Corps officer that somebody had pinched a goose out of his car. February the 2nd. We didn't start until gone 11 this morning, having first had to say farewell to our 200 or so odd American friends who went their separate ways before us. The first half hour or so of this morning was made rather amusing, as the many optimistic chaps who had hoped to continue with their sleds found it harder than they'd bargained for, and consequently the sides of the road were strewn with sleds, blankets and numerous things thrown off to lighten their loads. Due to this, I was able to acquire an American Red Cross blanket, which should prove a useful asset in the future.
Our march today was a long and very weary one, 25 kilometres altogether. First, Moscow, quite the largest town, where we were joined by a contingent from the East Camp who are coming with us to wherever it is we're going. We are assured today that we'll only have to do 7 kilometres after today, and then we'll get a train, which is a great relief to us all. Graustein, our home for the night, was not reached until after dark, and with our feet well nigh dropping off, we were put in parties of 100 each in separate small barns. We here had the most comfortable night yet, with light in the barn for the first time and bags of hot water, which we organised for communal brews. This promised to be quite a good spot, as they were cooking up a good stew for us the following morning. We also got a promise of goon rations in the morning. February the 3rd. Had orders to be ready to move at 8, so much for our stew. However, we got our rations of 1/6 of a loaf, about 1/2 ounce of margarine and 1/2 ounce of cheese per man, as well as about a spoonful of sugar per man. We are sure today that we only have to march 7 kilometres and then we get a train, and also that we get a hot meal at Spremberg before entraining. Well, we cover the 7 kilometres okay, which took us to a Goon army camp, where we were dumped in a garage for the duration of the air raid, which was in progress. Then we got our hot meal, which consisted of a can of very salty barley, and we made ourselves a fire for a brew. Eventually, we set off again and had to march another 6 kilometres through the town to Spremberg West Station, where we got on our so-called luxurious train. Our accommodation was cattle trucks, varying from 40 to 50 men per truck, and were we squashed. It was nearly dark before we got in, and we were soon locked in with no light whatsoever and crammed up so that we couldn't move. That night will live in my memory as the most uncomfortable ever, with hardly a wink of sleep.